Hello, welcome to Feedback with Earbuds, a podcast recommendation podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Nissenlatt, and I'm the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective. Earbuds is a weekly email newsletter that sends you a theme and five podcast episodes on that theme, and each week is curated by a different person. Anyone can curate a list. You can learn more and subscribe to the newsletter at earbudspodcastcollective.org. Feedback with Earbuds brings you podcast recommendations, an interview with somebody in the podcast space, tips on podcasting, and so much more. So let's get into it, shall we? Before we get started with today's episode, let's meet this week's Earbuds sponsor. Every Day is a Food Day podcast. From French fries to apple pie, every food you love has a story. Join foodie odd couple and BFFs Anna Van Valen and Leah Ballantyne as they nerd out on the stories, scandals, history, and heroes behind your favorite foods on Every Day is a Food Day. And if you scroll through their feed, you might see a familiar name. Earlier this year, my co-host of my other podcast, Shira Moskowitz, and I did a counter-programming crossover episode with Every Day is a Food Day. The episode focused on county fair foods. It will make you want to fry everything in your fridge. You can listen to Every Day is a Food Day wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, world. It's me, Arielle. I'm back. Thank you so much to Sabrina B. of the Experimental Audio Scene podcast for filling in for me last week. She was amazing. I was on a road trip last week, and I also got hit with my first cold since before the pandemic, and it really took me out. I really appreciate Sabrina's willingness to step in, and shout out to the other folks who volunteered to do so as well. I like the concept of a substitute host a lot. It's also interesting to hear how someone else interprets my scripts. If you're a solo podcaster, have you considered a substitute host when you've been out sick or you just couldn't put an episode out? I've done it a few times before. My dad even stood in for me about 6 months ago when I broke my elbow and had to have surgery. The episode is a lot of fun because my dad is actually a public address announcer for a local college basketball team, so he's got a really great voice. If you want to check out that episode, it's called Podcasts for Coffee Lovers with guest John Nissenblatt. Sweet. So what is on the agenda for today? Well, first of all, let's acknowledge that it is not Sunday. I did not drop this episode on Sunday. Usually feedback comes out on Sundays, just when our newsletter comes out. I'm changing things around, I think. I'm finding that spreading out Earbuds content might be worth it because it gives consumers a chance to experience both the newsletter and the podcast separately. So you've digested one, and then you've got some time, and then you get to the other. Let me know what you think. This is all an experiment, and I'm very open to changing things around depending on what works best for my listeners and my readers. So on to this week. This week is all about divorce. Our podcast picks this week come from Ian Koss, who is a child of divorce. He's also a grandchild of divorce, and a great-grandchild of divorce, and even a nephew of divorce. What I'm saying is that almost everyone in Ian's family has been divorced. He created a podcast earlier this year where he interviews his family about divorce and specifically about their divorces. This is all set to the backdrop of Ian having recently gotten married. As you can imagine, that makes for some internal conflicts. In addition to Ian curating this week's list, I've also got him on the podcast today to discuss divorce, his feelings about it, his podcast picks, and much more. So stay tuned for our chat. After my chat with Ian, we've got our podcast spotlight, some more opportunities and recommendations in podcast land, and then we'll close it out. Quick note from the Squadcast side of my life. As you may or may not know, I'm the community manager of Squadcast, which is a remote recording platform for podcasters and content creators. This month, we're running a Squadcast scavenger hunt. It's internet-based, and there are tasks to complete all around the Squadcast internet ecosystem. The goal is to get folks familiar with all that Squadcast has going on beyond just the in-app experience. But why am I telling you this? It's because it's all about the prizes. I was able to secure some really amazing prizes. The grand prize and the gold medal prizes are worth over $5,000. There are mics, headphones, audio interfaces, marketing services, newsletter mentions, in-app mentions, consultations with experts, t-shirts, hosting services, and much more. Plus, Squadcast is giving away a year of our audio and video plan. And anyone who participates and reaches 3,000 points gets a month free of Squadcast's audio and video plan. You can head to contest.squadcast.fm to register for the hunt. Even if you're hearing this in mid to late December, you've still got a shot at winning, or at least winning some amazing consolation prizes. We're adding tasks and sponsors all the time throughout this month, so the prizes keep getting better. Again, head to contest.squadcast.fm to join the hunt. With that out of the way, let's get started with today's episode on divorce. Here is my interview with Ian Koss. Ian, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you. Today, we are talking about divorce. But before we get into your podcast picks, I would love to ask you a bit about you. So, Ian, who are you?
I'm a producer and sound designer of podcasts, radio, sometimes live sound installations and sound art. I'm based in Boston, where I work mostly with PRX as part of their productions unit. But I also do projects on the side, including a recent show called Forever is a Long Time, which is all about the charming topic of divorce.
So much fun. Really, yeah. So much fun.
Just oodles of fun.
Well, we're going to get into your podcast picks in a moment. But Ian, how did you get into audio in the first place?
Yeah, so like a lot of people, I think I took a kind of windy and sideways path into this line of work. It was not something that even occurred to me, you know, when I finished college or first started looking for jobs in the world. So I got into audio because about 6 years ago, I was in a graduate program for music, thinking that I might try and be an academic ethnomusicologist of all things. I was realizing at the time that the academy was not such a great fit for me personally, and also a really awful job market. And right around that time, a radio producer came and visited a class that I was taking about, it was all about like ethnographic field work and field recording. So this radio producer came and visited the class, did a little workshop with us, and we all had to produce a piece for that class. And after I did the assignment, this woman, she's actually now an editor at NPR's Throughline and a dear friend, Julie Kane, she helped me pitch that piece. It was my very first like narrative audio anything. And it got on the radio, and that kind of got me started. And
wow,
basically one thing led to another, and here I am.
What was the piece about?
So as I mentioned, I was a music student. The class was about kind of field research of music. So it was a very short, maybe 3-minute, non-narrated profile of a Kenyan percussionist named Kasiva Mutua, who happened to be in Boston at the time. She was on tour, and I just did like a 30-minute interview and cut it down to 3 minutes, and that was the piece.
That, yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that what they hear on the radio is cut down a whole bunch, and it is just exactly what needs to be told at that moment for that specific radio slot, and cutting it down is hard.
It is hard. That's a lot of the work right there, is getting rid of stuff.
Yeah, and making sure it makes sense the whole way, just to peel back, go behind the earbuds curtain for a second. I'm going to be recording with Ian for about 20 minutes, and this interview will be about 15 minutes, just so folks know what that sounds like. And that's not too difficult, but cutting down from 30 or an hour long tape to 3 minutes or 5 minutes is quite an endeavor.
So now all your listeners can wonder, what is that missing five or 10 minutes? What was in there that we're not going to get to hear?
Usually awkward jokes or us talking over each other and being like, you go, really. That's usually it. Well, Ian, you curated this week's Earbuds podcast collective list, and the theme that you chose is divorce adjacent. So first, I'd like to ask you, what is, I know this is personal, but you put it out there into the world. What's your connection to divorce? Why did you choose this theme?
Yeah. So for me, that idea of divorce adjacent is, I've not been divorced. I'm married. And the way I came to this topic is that a few years after I got married, I kind of looked around and realized that everyone in my family had gotten divorced. Like really everyone. My parents, all my aunts and uncles on both sides, my grandmother, who's my only remaining grandparent, had been divorced like back in the 60s. Some of my grandparents got divorced in the 50s. So I kind of became, fascinated with just what this legacy of divorce meant, and how even for those of us who haven't been through that experience of divorce, what that experience of being near it does to our own confidence or sense of self, and sense that we can possibly know what we will want for ourselves and for our partners, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so for me, my way of approaching that was to go and interview all those family members. But I was interested in this playlist to kind of see how other people whose lives intersect with an experience of divorce, whether as children or maybe their partners with somebody who's divorced, how those experiences affect them. So these are all, they're not stories about somebody getting divorced. They're stories about somebody who's thinking about divorce or knows someone who got divorced or whose parents got divorced and how that idea kind of seeps into their own mind and experience.
It makes a lot of sense. Before we jump into the picks, how do you feel it's affected you, or has it affected you, or do you feel comfortable sharing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I mean, in working through the podcast and in talking with all my family members and talking to my own partner, my own wife about this, I do think that the extent of divorce in my family, and I realize that it's not unique to me, you know, there's so many families like this where divorce is not only common, but essentially the norm. I do think that it is like a little whispering voice of doubt in the back of my head that whatever, however sure I feel in my decisions and my feelings that this is what I want and it's what I want for the rest of my life, is like this little reminder that however much we think we know ourselves, that so often we get down the road and what we think we knew we wanted is not what we wanted, or what we thought we understood, we didn't understand. And I think that's the effect for me. It's sort of like a little voice of doubt in the back of my head, which as I, in exploring that in the, you know, in the series that I did this year, I'm not sure that's necessarily always a bad thing. It's just something to know about yourself.
Yeah. Let's get to this week's podcast pick, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So the first episode that you chose is from your podcast, which is called Forever is a Long Time. And the episode is called Part One, My Parents, Ellen and Tom. So what's that about?
Yeah. So I decided to lead with my own series because it is sort of where my interest in this subject begins. So this was an interesting project for me. For most of the interviews I did with my family members, I just talked to one person. This was the one episode where I talked to both people on both sides of that divorce because they are both
at the same time.
Parents. No, I talked to my mom first and then I talked to my dad. And it was really interesting because even though they, you know, they mostly told the same story and hit a lot of the same story beats, just in hearing the two of them recount that story independently, it did sort of start to diverge in the way that they processed it and experienced it. And what I think what I really learned through this, through these conversations, is that the way they experienced their own divorce was so deeply shaped by the way they experienced their own parents' marriages and divorces and their own sort of like family environment of relationships and divorce. So it was like a reminder to me of how this thing that I was exploring in myself is sort of like a never-ending cycle. It's like, you know, my experience and feelings towards marriage are shaped by the models and examples I grew up with. And likewise, my parents' experience is shaped by what they grew up with.
The next episode comes from This American Life. We're listening to a piece within This American Life. The overall episode is called The Sanctity of Marriage. And the piece that we are talking about here today is called I Want to Be a Statistic. Tell me about that one.
You know, when I first started curating this playlist, I just did a lot of searching about. And this was one of the first stories I stumbled upon by the wonderful Starley Kine. And I just immediately, in listening to her kind of telling of the story and pursuit of this story, I just felt an immediate affinity for the curiosity that she had and the sort of persistence with which she approached it. I think, like me, she felt very shaped by this experience. Sorry, I should say the experience of her parents' divorce, and felt like she needed to understand that, to understand herself. And just following her on that journey was, I don't know, it just felt very, affirming is maybe too strong, but it just felt very familiar. I'll also just say that, the particulars of her story are really bizarre and fascinating. there's like a whole part about how one of her parents her father changed his name, you know, to satisfy his partner,
wow.
His first name and last name. There's all this, like, it's really a fascinating story. So well worth the whatever 15 minutes it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that'll be within that episode of This American Life. The whole thing is probably worth it. I haven't listened in a really long time, but that specific story, Starley, is amazing.
Yeah.
The next episode comes from the podcast Appearances, and the episode is called A Person Who Has Never Even Been Married Fantasizes Incessantly About Divorce.
Yeah. So this is, first off, just one of my favorite shows, period, of the last couple of years. It's utterly unique and engrossing and intimate in all the best ways. So just worth a listen to. And I thought, you know, this episode, it was interesting to me in that Sharon Mashihi's, I should say the character in the show, her parents are not divorced, but they seems like they should be. And that's another, it's definitely a dynamic that I encountered so many times in making my own show and in thinking about this topic and talking to other people about the topic, is I would get that story of like, yeah, my parents didn't divorce, but they really should have. And so hearing her kind of the character in this story observe, you know, describe the story of her own parents and how that reflects on her own sense of self is really fascinating.
The next episode comes from the podcast Modern Love and is called The Upside of Our Parents' Divorce.
So this is in the style of Modern Love. It's an essay read aloud about this woman who is now sort of in middle age and realizes that she has this incredibly close relationship with her siblings that a lot of people don't have, and kind of traces that back to a childhood experience of a pretty messy divorce. And it's, again, a story that I heard and immediately related with, and that I'm very close with my brother. That's something that I always sort of took for granted, that we were a team, that we could talk to each other, that I enjoyed spending time with him, that we sought out each other's company, all that good stuff. And as I've gotten older, I realized that so many siblings don't have that at all, that they barely talk, or they see each other once or twice a year, and that's it. And I don't necessarily attribute that directly to our parents' divorce, but there is something about that experience of, you know, severing the family unit, having multiple households, introducing step-parents and boyfriends and girlfriends into the picture, all that stuff that, you know, that happens to a family when the, you know, when a divorce occurs. It really does pull the siblings together in a way that, like, fundamentally, he and I were the integral family unit. Like, we were the indivisible piece of this now more, you know, fractured and expansive family unit. And that's something that I do carry with me, and I really appreciate it in this story.
The next and the last episode comes from the podcast Love Letters, and the episode is called How to Stepmom.
Awesome. So first off, I want to thank the Love Letters team and Meredith. They're actually featuring my podcast Forever is a Long Time on their feed sometime this fall, and they've been just really great to work with on that. This story takes a kind of different perspective on this idea of divorce adjacent, whereas the others are really about children looking at their parents. This is really about the experience of a step-parent coming into the aftermath of a divorce with children and, you know, trying to navigate those relationships. I just feel like it's such a nice perspective that isn't talked about a lot. You know, I feel like in popular culture, the step-parent, you know, in myth and story, is just this sort of like maligned figure, mm-hmm. you know, that nobody likes. But actually, I mean, I have two step-parents who have been in my life since I was a teenager, and they're my family. I feel very close to them, and I feel very blessed to have them in my life. And in fact, is, you know, when I released my own podcast, I, like, the first thing my mom said to me about it is like, you should have talked to your step-parents too. They're part of the picture. And so just, I really appreciated this story that centered that person, centered the experience and role of the person entering into that complex family dynamic and trying to make the best of it.
That's really nice.
Also, there's a great part in the beginning of the episode where Meredith and her sister take that song from Mary Poppins about the perfect nanny. You know, the kids sing this song where they're dreaming of what their perfect nanny would be. And they rework it to be about what their perfect step-parent would be. And it's really amusing.
That's really awesome. Well, Ian, before we close out, any advice that you would give to somebody whose parents are going through a divorce, since you are very aware of it from your own perspective and also from your family's perspective?
Wow. I definitely try to avoid giving anything, giving advice. I don't feel qualified to give any advice. What I would say specifically to anyone whose parents are going through divorce is that when my parents got divorced, I think it felt like an awful thing. And the more time has passed, the more grateful I am that they did, and they did it when they did, and that it was just truly for the best for everyone. That's not true in every case, and every family and every story is different. But one thing I really tried to take away from all this work is to let go of that idea of divorce as a failure and divorce as an inherently bad outcome, and just be open to the idea that we can learn and change as people and partners, and that's okay.
Well, Ian, your show is called
Forever is a Long Time. It's a limited run series, 5 episodes.
Get it while you can.
I'm told it's highly bingeable. You can throw it on in a car ride or a day of doing yard work, and it's 2.5 hours long, and you'll get to hear the stories of every member of my family who has ever been divorced.
Really unique idea for a podcast. Thank you for doing the work that you do, and thank you for joining me on Feedback with Earbuds.
Awesome. Thank you.
Big thank you to Ian for curating this week's list and for joining me in the virtual Earbuds studio powered by Squadcast. Squadcast is a remote recording studio that helps podcasters record studio quality audio and video from wherever, with anyone, at any time. If you're a podcaster who records interviews and wants to try out squadcast.fm, awesome, I got you. We offer a 7-day free trial at squadcast.fm. Get in touch if you want to explore it further. We will link to all of Ian's podcast picks in the show notes of this episode. And as always, you can find our newsletter, also with links, at earbudspodcastcollective.org. Do you want to curate a list? Anyone can do so, and we would love it. And when you curate a list, you can include one of your own episodes. Learn more at our website. Next up, it is spotlight time. In addition to our weekly 5 podcast picks, we also spotlight a podcast at the bottom of our newsletter. The idea is that even if you have no interest in this week's theme, you can still check out the Spotlight podcast for some more audio content from us. And podcasters, if you want your podcast spotlight in our newsletter and on the homepage of our website, we have an application link in the show notes of this episode. This week, we're spotlighting the podcast Strangeland. Here is the description. Strangeland is a new series from Audiochuck and Western Sound that re-examines cases in immigrant neighborhoods. Hosted by investigative journalist Ben Adair and world-renowned interpreter Sharon Choi, Season 1's investigation goes where the police in California couldn't and uncovers new evidence that may change the course of a case that stunned K-Town. Find Strangeland wherever you get your podcasts. Now, one quick opportunity before we close it out. I really recommend checking out Clever.fm. Clever.fm is creating the YouTube of podcasting, and they're offering the first 100 podcast hosts free white glove services to help tag and link out content in their shows. If you're looking for a way to have listeners interact with your show and your content more easily, Clever.fm can help. Grab this deal early, be one of the first 100 people to claim it. Details will be in the show notes, but you can go to clever.fm/creators to register for a phone call and grab this deal. Again, that is clever.fm/creators. All right, that is it for this week of Feedback with Earbuds. I am back next week with more. Do let me know if you prefer this new Tuesday or midweek episode drop. I would love your feedback. Catch you next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye. Feedback with Earbuds is written by me, Ariel Nissenblatt. It's mixed and designed by Daniel Turek, the best in the game. Learn more about Daniel at his website, robotslap.com. The newsletter is edited by the amazing Abby Kleonsky. Until next week, stay safe and happy listening.